this is going to be somewhat of a learning curve for all of us, but these are the days in which we live, and looking forward to just really connecting as best we can in these times, in these days. And to know this too, I believe that these Sunday morning services will get better as we do them. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Certainly. So one thing that I want to note as we get into this time, we are going to try and stay with the Lenten series that we've been in, recognizing we're leading up to Easter. And the reality of this is we will probably be doing, you know, services till the end of April with this kind of platform. So it's going to make Sundays look a little different. It's going to make Easter look a little different. But we can still stay connected, and we can do this. I had one friend who took an issue with the word social distancing. She didn't really like that concept because she wants to stay connected socially as best we can. So there's physical distancing happening, but socially we're going to try and find new ways to connect. And I think this platform this morning is one way to do that. So knowing that we're staying with the Lenten series, we had Jana and Kim scheduled to preach, and we're going to bracket their sermons and their texts and get to them when we can. So I've added a new text to the series this morning from John chapter 11. And you have that scripture if you looked at the bulletin. That is the story of Lazarus, the death and resurrection of Lazarus. So we're going to look at that this morning. But let me read the paragraph regarding the Lenten calendar. That's in the bulletin. We behold his glory. In Jesus' time, the cross was a symbol associated with great disgust and disgrace. Cursed is he who hangs upon the tree. In reverse, Christ took a symbol as disgusting as the cross and transformed it into a symbol of glory. It is by his obedience to his Father that all things wretched can be transformed. Not by, quote, the power of the cross, but by the glory of the Son, who is the glory of the one and only. And that emphasis, again, on God's glory, as we step into and look at this text, as we think about these days in which we live, and trying to get clarity and understanding on what it is that God has for us and desires for us, even in days like this. Let me pray for us as we continue into this worship time together. God, we are grateful for today. We're grateful for your love for us, for your glory. God, we would ask that you would continue to bring into our lives light from you and love and understanding. God, we miss being together as a congregation. We miss shaking hands and sharing hugs. And recognizing that, though, Lord, we are grateful for this opportunity to be together through technology. May that indeed help us to understand even more and more who you are and who you've created us to be. Amen. So I don't know if there's any children watching this or if there's adults watching who want to show their kids this, but one thing I thought about is if we could all take our hands and go like this, clasping your hands together. Now, what I invite you to do is to look down and see your pinky. Look at your pinky fingers. Maybe you can wiggle them a little bit, but look and see which pinky is on the bottom. Now, for me, my right hand's pinky is on the bottom. What I'm going to do is I'm going to switch those so that my left pinky is on the bottom. And I'm going to do that with all my fingers the whole way up through, including my thumb, so that what was is now different. Now, just feel that. How does that feel? That's different. That's a little strange. That seems odd. Well, that's kind of how this feels this morning. Maybe it's a little strange, a little odd, a little weird. But if you look at your hands, they're still your hands. And although that feels different or strange, it's still you. So this is still us, the church, together. And God's glory comes in many ways. And I know one of the ways that God's glory comes to us is through his comfort and love. And even in the midst of something strange and different, like clasping our hands differently, God is still present. God is still with us. And God's glory brings comfort even in the midst of whatever the changes are before us. So in looking at John chapter 11, I just want to walk through this text with us. It's a long passage of scripture, but yet one that I think has a lot of value for us, certainly understanding Jesus and the leading up to Easter and his death and resurrection. But also what I want to look at this morning is this understanding of comfort that comes through his glory. So in John chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" So we capture this picture very clearly, that Jesus is going about doing the things that he has been doing. He gets this word that Lazarus is sick from Mary and Martha. In verse 4, "When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'" Verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you there, and yet you're going back.' And Jesus answers them, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light.' After he said this, he went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.' His disciples replied, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.' Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.' Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us go, that we may die with him.'" So let's look at this section of scripture a little bit before we read the rest of the story. So Jesus, busy doing what he's doing, hears word that Lazarus is sick. But the interesting point here is that Jesus doesn't get off course to what he's doing. He stays doing what he has been doing. We're not sure in the ministry that he's doing, but he was staying there and waited for 2 days. It's interesting to me that Jesus didn't quickly react and say, "I must go," because he had confidence in God. And something that helps us to understand God's glory and his comfort is that you and I can have confidence in God, recognizing that God will meet us in our loss, our grief, our change of plans, whatever it might be, that God indeed will be able to meet us. Now, many of us have experienced loss over the last couple weeks and change, and things are much different than what we ever could have imagined. Some of you, are facing the loss of jobs, potential loss of jobs. All of us are facing changes in schedule. Students are facing the loss of school and having to go to school, all those plans, activities, sports. There is indeed a grief that goes along with this loss. And to recognize that even in the midst of whatever our grief might be, that Jesus is there with us, that he's going to continue to meet us wherever it is that we are going to be at or wherever we go. Verse 17 in John chapter 11 says, On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? In this story, we see indeed that God meets us in our loss and our grief, the change of plans. We see in verse 7 this understanding of the here we go, and Jesus says, let's go back to Judea. 17, verse 17, he gets there on his arrival. And then verse 34, he wants to go see where Jesus, it is that Lazarus indeed had been laid. So this understanding that God is indeed close at hand, regardless of what is happening around us. Close, change of plans, close when those that are near to us have passed away. It is indeed this recognition that Jesus is close, but also to see here that Jesus has compassion on all. It says that Lazarus was the one that Jesus loved, and then it goes on to say Mary and Martha were the ones that Jesus loved. And what we see here clearly is that Jesus loves everyone. He loves all people. And to think about verse 36, where the people around Jesus said, see how he loved him. And that love that Jesus portrayed and showed to Lazarus and to Mary and Martha is the same love that Jesus shows and portrays to you and I. In that Jesus loves us as much as Jesus loved Lazarus. This thread of love for all people is seen throughout the New Testament as we look at the ministry of Jesus. Many of us know or have heard or can memorize or have memorized John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That connection of the fact that God loves us so much that there's nothing we can do to make God love us more. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. That is indeed how much God loves us and has compassion towards us and for us. Many of you have been praying for me and Julie as Julie's brother Rick went through a sickness and illness, was hospitalized with pneumonia, and then Thursday night he passed away. And it is hard for me to understand how it is that someone who's 52 years old dies from pneumonia, and the loss and grief and the impact that has on me and on Julie and her family and on Rick's family. But the understanding that even in the midst of our losses, God is with us and that Jesus has compassion for us. And I believe whenever it is that we cry and grieve over the losses in our lives, that Jesus cries with us. That he doesn't bail out on us, he doesn't run away from us, that he stands with us in our grief and cries alongside of us. And it reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, where Paul is writing, and he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. To bring comfort to one another, to recognize that God loves us, Jesus is compassionate towards us, and that love that we have, that we receive from God, we share with one another, even in the midst of things like social distancing or physical distancing from one another, to continue to try and stay connected, and maybe connected in new and different ways, ways that we haven't thought about yet, to be imaginative, to think beyond what is normal, because this certainly feels like we're thinking beyond what is normal. Let me share a story with you. This is something I found a long time ago. It's called Potato Chips and Root Beer. A little boy wanted to meet God. He knew it was a long trip to where God lived, so he packed his suitcase with a bag of potato chips and a six-pack of root beer and started on his journey. When he'd gone about three blocks, he met an old woman. She was sitting in the park just staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened his suitcase. He was about to take a drink from his root beer when he noticed that the old lady looked hungry. So he offered her some chips. She gratefully accepted them and smiled at him. Her smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again, so he offered her a root beer. Again, she smiled at him. They sat there all afternoon eating and smiling, but they never said a word. As twilight approached, the boy realized how tired he was, so he got up to leave. But before he had gone more than a few steps, he turned around, ran back to the old woman, and gave her a hug. And she gave him her biggest smile ever. When the boy opened the door to his own house, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face, and she asked him, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman was also radiant with joy, returned to her home, and her son was stunned by the look of peace on her face and asked, "Mother, what did you do today that made you so happy?" She replied, "I ate potato chips in the park with God." Before her son could respond, she added, "You know what? He's much younger than I expected." Potato chips and root beer. I think from that story, this understanding that God's love, God's compassion coming into our lives flows out to others around us. And to realize that we're going to have to come up with creative ideas of how to express that love to one another. We can't run over and hug our neighbors right now, but we can smile. And I thought about it, and Jan and I had talked about it earlier. There's an old-fashioned way of connecting with people that we've forgotten, and maybe we need to revitalize that during this time. And it's writing and sending cards and notes in the mail. Seems kind of old-fashioned, but maybe that's a creative way today to stay connected and show God's love to one another, to write a note, a card of appreciation, thinking of you, whatever it might be. Certainly using technology in ways that maybe we haven't been able to do before, but that's another creative way to stay connected and show compassion to all. Back to this story in John chapter 11 that we're working our way through as we think about Jesus and Lazarus. Verse 38, Jesus once more deeply moved came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, "the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. In knowing that God is with us, meets us in our grief, our loss, change of plans, our anxiety, our stress, our worry about what our health might be, our future, that Jesus has compassion. He's here with us. He's walking with us. We need to continue to work at trusting God, of building up our faith and realizing that whatever it is that I face today, that in that, God is present. And knowing that helps us to build our faith, to build trust in God. The sister sent word to Jesus in verse 3, Lazarus is sick. And even that was an action of faith. And then we see that faith being lived out throughout this story. As we look at verse 20, 21 and 22, again, you know, this proclamation of Martha saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So she believes in that. But now she even says, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And so it's evident from Martha's words that she had great faith and understanding in what Jesus was doing in his ministry on earth and what God was doing in having Jesus present. In verse 24, it captures a very interesting point for Martha. She said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Martha had been paying attention to Jesus and what Jesus was saying throughout his ministry and recognizing this understanding of the resurrection. But Jesus was trying to help Martha see beyond this understanding of knowledge in her mind to saying, there's a shift here that needs to happen in your thinking. And so he says to her, I'm the resurrection and life. And in that shift is this a capacity of what you and I can do in listening to God and recognizing that God is at work today through his Holy Spirit in our lives. And so that we might even have the opportunity in a smile, in a note, a card, a text, to share God's love, to share God with those that are around us, that we have contact with. Martha was continuing to learn from Jesus, to understand and to see what Jesus was up to, and to recognize that her faith was growing even in the midst of grief, in the midst of loss, this midst of change of plans, whatever it might be, that faith needs to continue to grow, to stay connected to God. For those that were at church two Sundays ago, we had that rope and people were connecting their pieces of string to that rope, and that staying connected to God will be important and vital for us through these days of change, of limited in what we can do and where we can go, that indeed staying connected to God will be important. And so we join together as best we can Sunday mornings. We recognize God speaks through his word. So we find ourselves in God's word and we seek after God for wisdom. In this time, we have to be wise. And so part of that wisdom is listening to what our health officials are saying, what our public officials are saying, and trying to pay attention to that and recognizing we want to help one another as best we can in these times. And right now, one way to help one another is not to go visit them. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, that's kind of hard. I would really like to come around to each of your homes and visit with you, but I know I can't do that right now. And so we're engaging in wisdom to know how to navigate through these days. James 3 talks some about wisdom and the question he asked in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So we're trying as best we can in these days to step out in faith, to use wisdom and continue to do that with great humility and grace towards one another. Wisdom, it says in James, that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. It also says in James chapter 3, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously all to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. In these days, health concerns, trying to navigate through loss of jobs, loss of income. As a church, we need to seek after God for wisdom. To know how to move forward in these days, it's going to be very important to care for one another, care for our neighbors, to pay attention as best we can to those around us. If there's needs, things that you're encountering that maybe are beyond your scope of resources, let us know as a church. And we're going to try and figure out how to help one another. It's such a time as this that we've been called to. And we can be serving one another. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus as we love one another, even in times of great distance physically, to know that we're together as a church, striving to do that which God has called us to do, to be able to be Zion Mennonite Church, to be a church that in the midst of this, I think back to your mission, our mission statement, that we're to grow together as Christ-centered community, extending this Anabaptist branch into our world, bearing the lasting fruit of discipleship and planting seeds for God's reign through hospitality, service, and reconciliation with God and others. I never imagined to have to think about hospitality and service without being in the physical presence of others. We're looking for some creative ideas. God give us wisdom to know how to navigate and share this love with one another. Let me pray for us as we continue in this service. God, thanks for today. Thanks for this word from John, as the story of Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus from the dead. God, we recognize that in these days and these times that things don't always work out the way we had hoped. But God, in the midst of that, we ask that you would help us to see your comfort in that, to share that comfort that we receive with others as well. God, I ask too that you would give us protection and safety, pray for health, for all of us, God, in our congregation, our neighbors, our families, God, we ask that where there is sickness, that you would indeed bring healing. Help us to know, God, how to step out in faith, and that our faith would grow in the midst of some of the challenges before us with this health scare that has come upon us as a community, as a country, as a world. Give us wisdom, God. Amen. Thank you all for listening, to tuning in. This is going to go back to Jana for prayer, and it'll be interesting to read through what you've shared with us through the chat room and other places. We're going to keep working at this, so stay tuned. Thank you all. Jana, back to you.
Thanks, Bill. I'm asking our host person, Kevin, is it possible now that we can see who all is connected through the top of our screens, or no?
If you move your cursor to the top of the screen, there should be like a keyboard. And if you click on that, people who have their video on will show up with their video. People who have just connected with their name or is not sharing their video, you can scroll through that and see what their... Who's connected? There's a lot of people connected. We have about 61 connections.
Okay.
And if you'd like, I see someone just turned theirs on. Virginia did. Feel free to turn it on. In fact, I'm willing to stay on after we're done with the service. If people want to try out their video and just try to connect in, wave at each other. And so all you have to do is click on the video down the lower left corner to start sharing. And so if you want to try it after we're done with all the sharing and the closing prayer, I'm more than happy to stay online and try this out for another few minutes and help people through.
Okay. Okay. So I want to send you with these words from Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Blessings as you go from this day.
So as I said earlier, that's the end of our service. And if someone would like to stay online and just test out their video or ask some questions about how to connect, I'm more than happy to stay on for another 10 minutes or so if people are willing to. Otherwise, you're more than welcome to log out.